At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Score Midday Show.
Make it sexy.
They're going to be printing money up there. Let me quote Kevin Warren, team president, UFC, WWE, Final Fours. The list goes on and on and on.
I did love the WWE. I loved that he was thinking about WWE events.
And if I ever get a chance to talk to Kevin Warren, you better believe I'm going to be asking him, okay, so the WWE thing, who's your favorite wrestler? How long you been following wrestling? Who's your favorite wrestler growing up? Who's your favorite wrestler now? I got questions. I got questions about Kevin Warren and his ties to WWE.
Now I just picture him with his stone cold cans of beer.
I drank a beer. I drank another beer. Three beers. Four beers.
Oh, no.
Five beers.
Oh, no.
Six beers. Seven beers. Eight beers. Nine beers. And a Bloody Mary.
I think shotgunning a beer with Kevin Warren, that sounds like a good time.
Beer. Tequila. More beer. More vodka. More whiskey.
Is that on your Chicago sports fan party list?
It wasn't, but you know what is now? I don't even drink beer anymore because, you know, the gout. But I would do it for him. I just take medication or whatever and cancel it out.
It's like people who are lactose intolerant. They just take sometimes the lactate and let it rip.
Sometimes you got to have some ice cream. Cheese is good.
Cheese is awesome.
How much cheese have you eaten today?
How much cheese is too much cheese?
Any amount of cheese before a date is too much cheese.
I had a lot of cheese. I had a block of cheese.
Okay.
Coming to you live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville, it's the Score Midday Show with Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi.
We get it going. Happy home opening day, everybody. We already have a great crowd here at Sluggers, right off of the place to be. Just a stone's throw away from Wrigley Field. We broadcast live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville, brought to you by our friends at Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. We have ourselves a party as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Our producers today, Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Tyler Farringle on the video, Connor O'Donnell is in the house, Jenna Duddleston and Matt Anaya, Marshall Harris, and Crane Kenny gets us started here on the home opener. Crane, it's great to see you, the Cubs president of business operations. And really, you know, we do this every year, and it's so nice to see you and have this tradition with you that we have here.
Yeah, we're lucky. But I got to say, just listen to the bump on the way in. You guys have the best job in the world. Like,
it's not bad.
How much fun do you guys have, one, talking about sports all day with Mitch and a good crew and a bunch of colleagues that are a lot of fun. So I want your job. That's pretty cool.
We try to do a good job of having a fun job. That's kind of my mantra, my motto. I have to start with the fit, okay? Your opening day fit is supreme. You've got the businessman's tie with the vest, and then you've also got the kicks to go with it, the Fly the W Air Force Ones.
The suit, the sweater vest, we mixed texture here, the nice knot on the tie with blue and red. But the swag is really your ring and your shoes here. Mitch texted me right after we talked and said, check out Crane's shoes. Everybody wants the shoes.
Oh, my God. It's like a mullet, right? It's business on the top and fun on the bottom. Well, I said to you guys earlier, and this is you guys are absolutely helping me at home. My wife's out of town, which meant I had to dress myself today. And when I looked at the shoe options, I know she hates these shoes because she says, you're trying to be cool and you're not. You can't wear those. Those are for young people. So I said, you know what? She's not here. She can't police me. I'm wearing them anyway. So when you guys point that out, I hope she'll listen somewhere and give me some cred.
You are young. You do look fly. Everything is good. Yeah. Don't worry about what one person thinks. Think about all the compliments you've gotten already today. It's not even 11 o'clock in the morning.
So I know there's a really tough question coming because when somebody says something nice about me, I know right after that's going to be something really tough.
I do think we need to point out or describe the shoes. Are they Jays or are they Air Force Ones?
No, they're Air Force Ones in the Cub colors. The left shoe says fly. The right shoe says W. They're fun. And Nike, a great partner. You're going to see a lot of baby blue Nikes running around because of our new blue, light blue jerseys this year.
Let's get with the blue jerseys. Let's start with that.
Yeah,
so I know it's the home opener.
That.
People have like the things they like to do for the first game at Wrigley Field. You guys, one of seven teams who have yet to play your home opener so far this season. But these baby blue jerseys, now I want one.
Yeah, so, you know, we discontinued the Wrigleyville jerseys. I can share with you, we have already sold more baby blue jerseys today than we sold all of the first year of the Wrigleyville jersey. So our marketing team, Jen Martindale and team, fabulous job. The baby blues come back. We were the first team in baseball to wear baby blue in 1941. We discontinued them in the 80s. And when we were looking at, so Nike gives you a three-year window to use an alternate jersey. So Wrigleyville was coming to the end of its life. We had to come up with something else. Great job by the team. Let's bring the baby blues back. They did research with the help of our team historian, like what else was happening in 1941 when we originally wore the baby blues besides the war. And we stumbled into this really cool rabbit hole on what was happening in the blues era of music. So we all know that the blues migrated from the Delta of Mississippi. So Chicago's not the home of the blues, but the blues became electrified in the early 1940s. When the sound was needed because of larger venues that Muddy Waters and other artists were playing. So Chicago is the home of the electric blues. So we said, let's have fun with that. So you'll see on the blue jersey a guitar pick that says the word Chicago in it, references to the electric because you'll see an electric bolt going through the word Cubs, and all sorts of other kind of hidden gems inside the baby blue jerseys, which is a lot of fun. And so far the fans are enjoying it, so that's what it's all about.
Well, I think that's a great point. It's kind of like your shoes, just having the little fly and the W on the back. Those are the details that people like. So what else can you tell us about the jersey that might be something that might resonate with people when they see it?
Well, we got the players' input. So as you all remember, we had quite a issue last year with the jerseys when Nike brought out the Vapor.
Oh, we remember.
Oh, yeah. As I do. I remember. Well,
You couldn't help but see it.
Nike's a wonderful partner, and I won't say anything else other than I walked into spring training last year. Danny Mueller, our fabulous clubhouse leader, said, hey, we got an issue. And he showed me the jersey, and I said, those are jerseys, right? He goes, no, these are the players' jerseys. And we brought Ian and Dansby and Jameson in, and it was pretty quickly apparent, like, these aren't going to work. So let's give credit where it's due. Nike immediately pivoted with the league and said, this is a mistake. The font is too small. The moisture wicking doesn't work, and a number of other things. And they quickly pivoted for this season. The jerseys are wonderful this year. So I'm going to give Nike all the credit in the world. Like, great job recognizing the problem and fixing it. And then the baby blues, you know, we got all sorts of fun the jock tags got special Sweet Home Chicago on it. And what's really cool, when you come to Gallagher Way now, you'll see a record store. We've never had a record store. So new and used vinyls being sold at something called Landmark Records.
Cool.
Right next to the Cub store. And that's where you're going to find the baby blue jerseys. And when you walk in there, there's a music studio in the back, a blues player, I think today. I'm not sure. I can't remember who's playing in the back. All sorts of vinyl that you can buy, both new and used, and then our baby blue jerseys. So you're going to see lots of blues coming out of the ballpark this year, both at Gallagher Way, inside the ballpark, on our audio system and video boards, as we really celebrate, let's face it, Chicago and the blues and the baby blues kind of come together in one place at Wrigley Field.
I love that, and I love that it's all encompassing. It's not just about baseball. It's about other things and how it's tied into baseball. So that's great. Now, once you get in the ballpark, every year you guys have a little something new. We've talked about the donuts where you can squeeze, inject your strawberry or blueberry filling into that. What else is new at the ballpark this year?
So, you know, some simple fan amenities. We replaced all the seats upstairs so that the upper deck needed new chairs, quite honestly. It was one of the things left in the 1060 project. So 1060 started 14 years ago. It's over. We finished it.
That's it? That's the last thing?
It's the last thing on the main menu. There's new lighting outside, so you're going to see we're going to have a lot of fun with both lighting and celebrating the ballpark more, but also now it's colorized so that we can celebrate various holidays, right? Mother's Day will be pink. Halloween will be orange. We'll be able to like kind of light the ballpark in different ways. The Yeti Yard, which is our first kind of public-private space in the bleachers. You know, the bleachers are and still my favorite place to watch a game. Tons of energy, a lot of excitement. But as you get, I'm 60 plus, we'll say, you get to a certain age, GA seating with no backs. And
it's a bad situation.
It's not great. So we now have a place where you can go, you can reserve your seat and still have all the fun and energy of the bleachers, but not battle the bachelor party next to you that has gone amok.
Are cup snakes still allowed?
Cup snakes are allowed.
Okay.
Like, just to be clear, like, we had a tough, you know, the cup snakes phenomenon. We love fun. We like the bleachers should be a riot. On the other hand, you have a bunch of fans going, I can't see the game because people are, like, throwing cups. I'm getting doused with beer. Like, we want to protect the fans who want to watch a game and then let people still have fun. So last year, we kind of designated a snake pit. Like, if you want to build snakes, you go here and snake your A off, right? You go do your thing. But for fans who don't want to be around snakes, you can go somewhere else. So we're kind of, like, trying to appease everyone. But the bleachers still, listen, I'm biased, although Sports Illustrated seems to agree with me. And I grew up in Boston going to Fenway my whole life, so I'm not just a homer. This ballpark is the greatest place in the world to watch baseball. And the bleachers inside the ballpark is the best part of the ballpark to watch a game. It is effing fun from morning to day to night, and it's Mardi Gras every day. And every time I walk through there, I see something going on that I'm either going, should that be happening? Maybe. But it's just, it's fun, and we're about to start again, which is just, you know, that's the real joy of today.
Well, as a guy who knows Fenway all that well from growing up, to see Wrigley Field jump up from 5 in last year's Sports Illustrated rankings, ballparks, to number 1, and you know this team, happy to see home, because number 29 on that list happens to be Sutter Health Field, where they just came, and they had a good time there. They swept the series with the Athletics, but now back home, how much pride does the organization take in a ranking like that, as arbitrary as it may be?
Yeah, listen, it's fickle, and like we kind of trade places with the Red Sox back and forth. It's special. It's, you know, you've heard me on this topic. It's just an incredible place. You know, I got this job 22 years ago, and when I got the job, I thought it was an honor and an opportunity. What I didn't realize, what it was an obligation. Like, you know, for a short while, they've entrusted this jewel, this cathedral, to a group of us to protect and try and improve. And when we got it, you know, we had concrete falling and all those other things. And so we've done our best. And to have someone say, like, it's the best place to watch baseball in the world, that feels pretty good. And all the credit belongs to David Cromwell. Like, Dan Kiermaier, the guy who runs the field itself. I was on the field today. That field was dirt 3 weeks ago. We played hockey throughout January on that field, as well as 2 football games, as a bunch of concerts. We played soccer there. We had golf there. Like, poor Dan Kiermaier, he used to manage a baseball field. Now he's got football, hockey, golf, soccer, concerts. And at the end of the day, he has to deliver that on opening day in pristine shape. And I was walking the field with him this morning. I'm like, man, I don't know how you do it. But 3 weeks ago, I'm out there, and it's all dirt. And I'm like, dude, you got this? And he goes, I got it. There's a few moments in your life where you're like, I know how I'm going to die. I'm going to be in the Spilotro pit in a field in Indiana when that field isn't ready on opening day. And so when I'm walking with him, he goes, I got this. I'm like, I sure hope you do. Sure enough, delivered in fine fashion.
I think one of the things I'm reminded of today specifically is what Jed Hoyer said when he talked about acquiring Kyle Tucker. And he said, what we want to sell him. And I feel the same about Ryan Pressly, too, even though I know he's got a little bit of experience. Neither one of them as home players. You know, to have that experience today is the what happens when you're that guy on this stage, knowing the multiplier that Wrigley Field is. This may be the biggest selling point to the both of them as to what this experience can be for them and how this season can really reward them. What are your thoughts when you think about what Jed had to say earlier in the year?
I believe that's true, and I hope that's really true with Kyle and Ryan as well. But, you know, I was in Tokyo with Dexter Fowler, our former center fielder, and who had played in a number of places. Yeah, and he went. He goes, we go. And it was really fun to hear him talk about all the places he had played in his career and what Wrigley meant to him. And he, you know, he played elsewhere after he was here. You know, he went to St. Louis. And he's like, there is absolutely nothing. And he was center field, right? So he got to enjoy the bleacher crowd. Like, there is nothing like playing a game at Wrigley Field. And he's like, dude, I am a Cub forever. And I hope Mr. Tucker feels the same way, because that would be really great to see him in right field for a long time.
How much does it help to build the anticipation, not only not starting maybe with the season opener, but to see the team doing well coming into the first at-home game of the season at Wrigley?
Yeah, we know we have the toughest month of baseball of any team all season, so we know April's really, really tough. To come in after a good road trip, you know, yeah, you know, could it have been one game better? Sure. But listen, you sweeping any club is hard. And our guys, this is our fourth home opener. We had our fourth opener, right? We opened in Japan, we opened in Arizona, we opened in Sacramento, and now we'll open here. A lot of distractions, a lot of travel. No excuses, but it's a lot. And to come back, you know, with a winning record from that trip, really, really good. And the way we've been winning lately in particular, the bats are, you know, Seiya's such a gifted player. He's like, I think in my 20-plus years, maybe the most gifted, underrated player. Like, no one nationally really talks about Seiya, but when you look at the numbers and his OPS during his career with us, you're like, that's an elite player that doesn't get a lot of love. I think Ian Happ, another one, similar. Like, every year, incredibly steady, high performance, and not a lot of chatter. Obviously, King Tuck has already gotten the chatter, because you go four straight games with a home run, people are going to talk about it.
Well, and it's nice to see that protection in the lineup really work together, as we saw, especially in the last series. We were talking to Cubs President of Business Operations, Crane Kinney, on The Score. And Crane, there's a lot of discussion about just either a progress check when it comes to where to find Marquee. Comcast is especially pivotal in this. You know, it's been in the news recently here. What can you tell us about where to watch and how when it comes to the cable distributors and just how to watch Marquee overall?
Yeah, so our agreement with Comcast expired in September. So we've been negotiating with them since then, and we've been operating on short-term extension since. Been very blessed that we've remained on the basic cable package. And so Marquee subscribers who have cable or satellite can watch us as they always have. The Marquee stream, for those who are cord cutters or cord nevers, it's up 50% over a year ago, so the streaming business continues to grow. And I think I may not be sitting here in a few years, because I'm going to age out of this job, and you guys will still be here, but I think in 3, 4, 5 years, whoever's in my chair will tell you most of our audience is watching on the stream. That's where the business is going. But like, as we sit here today, we have an unfinished Comcast agreement, which we're working really hard to get done, and then the streaming package is the way to go. I stare across the street at our friends at CHSN who don't have a Comcast deal, you know, and it kills me that you know, my friends are not on the predominant carrier and are going to lose the whole hockey and basketball season, and now the beginning of the baseball season. But it's a reminder of how hard the environment is right now, because they have really great leadership. They've been trying really hard with Comcast to get their network launched, and they can't get there. And then you saw Comcast tiered their own networks in California. They tiered the Red Sox. They tiered the Pirates. So, you know, that's the direction life is heading.
And when you talk about tier, for those who may not know, it's just a higher level of subscriber tier.
Correct.
I also want to ask you this before we go. You mentioned that guitar pick on the shoulder of the baby blue jerseys. Understood that Eddie Vedder's probably already asked you about that guitar pick.
Yeah, so Ed was with us in Tokyo. And, you know, like, we're so lucky. Our fans travel for us. Bill Murray there. Jack White there, Ed shows up, and Ed always has picks with him to give fans. So if you kind of run into him and you're a fan, he's going to give you something. He's the most generous person, let alone rock star, right, that we know. And he loves the Baby Blue and the tie-in with music. So we'll get him some Baby Blue guitar picks, and hopefully he'll play them.
That sounds like a plan. Great. Like a plan. And then one more question for you. From a texter, can I buy a record and bring it into the park? I'm interested in buying a few on Sunday.
That's a question I don't know the answer to. I don't think records are a prohibited item. I don't think they can hurt anyone. I guess you could throw them. I'm going to say yes on that. That if you buy a record, we're going to let you in the ballpark with it.
I know umbrellas are tricky. So,
umbrellas
you know,
are tricky.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah. But the record store, check it out. We'll have live music in there. And I think it's just going to be a really fun place for people to hang.
I love that this is a new problem that you now have to address, because it's a great problem to have when you have records offered right outside the ballpark.
Let's, how about we break a few records inside too? That'd be good.
There
that works.
Crane Kenny and his awesome Nike Air Force Ones. President of baseball, or business rather, operations, joining us on The Score for opening day. Happy real opening day.
Yeah. Happy opening day. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime.
Thank you so much to Crane Kenny. And thanks to our crowd here at Sluggers. You guys are great, bringing the energy already this morning, because we are broadcasting live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Coming up, we have so many more guests. This is a party here today. We join you live from the home opener at Wrigley. Ron Coomer is expected next. We also have a Cubs lineup. Let's talk about it on The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with a Score Midday Show at Sluggers in Wrigleyville on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, it's like today, you know, in my head, you know, I was thinking, you know, six innings. But after talking to Craig, you know, he, you know, really came. I'm really appreciative of him. He really pushed me to go out in the seventh, and I was able to go deep in that game. So I think in this situation, I'm feeling pretty good. And, you know, for a series with four games, I'm glad I was able to go that extra inning, give everybody else a rest.
That was Shota Imanaga speaking through his translator. Shota takes the hill today at Wrigley at 1:20, and we get you ready for the home opener that is finally here. Of course, you know, this afternoon the Cubs host the Padres in that home opener at Wrigley. Pre-game coverage begins right after us. Score middays from 12:45 p.m. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer are on the call for first pitch at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi broadcasting live from Sluggers here at Wrigleyville. As we mentioned, our friends at Circa Sports Illinois are also here. Sports betting the way it should be. And it's nice that we get to see Shota Imanaga, Marshall, on the hill again in front of the home crowd, who I think has really established himself as the ace so far this season, picking up from where he left off last year, to be able to start this series against the Padres. Just bringing that extra element, and you hear what's important to him as he wants to move forward.
Well, one thing you know about Shota is he knows what to do at Wrigley Field. If you remember, his debut with the Cubs at Wrigley last year was something to behold, and it was like, oh, I see why they went out and got this guy, because he was dominant in that win against the Brewers. And now you're hoping for more of the same in this game against a Padres team that doesn't know how to lose, at least not yet. 7-0 coming in. And to be 7-0 and to be looking up in the standings is quite the thing, even though it's early in the season. But the Dodgers look like a runaway freight train. So far, the Padres able to keep up, at least in the loss column. And right behind them, the Giants only have one loss season. So that NL West looks like it's going to be completely tough. Meanwhile, the Cubs, they come with the lineup. And Craig Counsell has been harping on the fact that, hey, our lineup is our lineup is our lineup is our lineup. And the home opener lineup, more of the same.
That's news. That's the big news.
Well,
let's give you the starting lineup, because it is out for today's game. Ian Happ is batting leadoff. He makes me coffee. I got it from Steingold's this morning. Kyle Tucker batting second. He's in right field today. Seiya Suzuki is your DH, batting third. Michael Bush batting cleanup. Dansby Swanson, Nico Hoerter, Pete Crow Armstrong still batting seventh. Matt Shaw and Miguel Amaya catching first show to Imanaga. That makes sense. That was an excellent 1-2 punch, as we saw last year. There were just thrilling moments when it came to Shota and Amaya working together, and you really saw some joy whenever the crowd was amped. Shota gets a strikeout to end the inning, and the first guy to be excited about it that we saw, of course, was the one receiving it, Amaya.
What's interesting about this lineup and the way that this team has performed, they're 5-4 coming off a 5-2 road trip, right? And we knew X-factor-wise, John Greenberg talked about this with Jed Hoyer in his 101, and we'll have John Greenberg coming up later in this show.
At noon.
But the thing that impresses me about what they've done so far is the young guy stepping up hasn't really had to be a thing yet. Like Nico and Dansby and the guys that you expect to produce have produced at a good enough rate where Pete Crow Armstrong, Matt Shaw, Miguel Amaya, the lower third of the order, hasn't had to do anything extraordinary. But we do expect extraordinary things out of them as the season goes on.
Yes, and even from what we saw where Seiya Suzuki begins the season 0-for-8, we talked about his strikeout numbers at the time he was leading baseball. Just was looking at too many good pitches, as we saw. And then what happened in this series against the A's in Sacramento? He started being more aggressive. He started swinging at the first pitch. It was working for him. Big home runs, big amount of space on those as well. You're talking 445 feet, stuff straight away to center. We know that the wind was affecting that because you don't have a deck situation in the outfield in Sacramento. But either way, you have to start somewhere. And for him, I think that attitude and having the confidence of knowing he's got this protection in the lineup. Now, he's a DH today, so I wonder if that will make a difference, given that he says he likes to play in the field.
His numbers also say he likes to play in the field.
Well, he's going to have to adjust because that's what happens on good teams. And they expect him to be the DH for a reason. I think they pay him this money in his contract to be that guy. So hopefully that translates, especially on a day like today, even though you're facing, as you mentioned, Marshall, an undefeated Padres team that also, we'll get into this with Mark Grant a little bit at 11, too. They've leaned into not having the same kind of lineup, payroll, etc., starting pitching that they've had in years past. You know, this is a team that brought in some veterans who are a little older, and it's still working for them.
Well, I think the biggest thing about the pitching and maybe not having to have superstar pitching is you've got to be able to depend on your offense, and the guys are paying a lot of money. They've done a really good job making some shrewd pickups. Like, people argue, like, Luis Arraez, well, where is he going to play in the field? They're like, it doesn't matter. We'll put you at first base even though you're not a power hitter because we know you can hit.
Yeah, he's
flat
still
out.
One of the leaders in average.
Exactly. And people are like, well, he hits, but he doesn't slug. Who cares? When you go Fernando Tatis Jr., Luis Arraez, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Jackson Merrill, that's your top five, you're doing damage.
Yeah, it's the Martin Maldonado, you know, mentioned where he's still Martin. Shout out to Martin for still making
ninth.
Money.
He's batting ninth.
Yes.
It's fine.
And Yu Darvish is on the injured list. You know, we mentioned he's obviously not playing right now, so there's that. But when it comes to this Padres team, we'll get into it a little bit more. They're no slouch, as we know. What you just mentioned, they extend Jackson Merrill 9 years. That news comes a couple days ago. They know what they're doing, but it is not the same top-to-bottom whiz-bang that we've seen before. So that should bode well. But I think what we've seen out of Shota Imanaga is consistent and the same stuff so far. You know what he's going to do with the fastball. You know how he's going to tunnel that with his splitter. If those two are working for him, life gets a lot easier.
And let's be honest, with the weather looking like what the weather looks like this time of year, advantage pitcher 9 times out of 10. So the cold weather is a factor in this game. The wind, the chill. It's not ideal baseball conditions if you're a hitter, right? And so I think both these pitchers may take advantage of that, whether it's Imanaga, whether it's Randy Vasquez on the other side. So now runs could be at a premium today on a day like today.
Right, and Randy Vasquez good in his last outing. So you're going to see that play well here potentially for him as well. I think overall, this is, you mentioned the lineup. I like that we know what we should expect to see. There's not necessarily a guess when it comes to how this shapes out. Maybe Say isn't playing the field. Maybe he's not. Also, depending on handedness, you know, when it comes to who's pitching. But to have that consistency, you're going to be able to evaluate a lot better when it comes to seeing how this comes together early.
I've heard a lot of naysayers just in the last couple of days. Okay, they beat the Athletics. They're not good, blah, blah, blah. Well, look, you come in, you can only beat who's on your schedule. Now, fortunately for the Cubs, with the caliber of teams on their schedule through the month of April, we'll have a pretty good idea of how good they are playing, how badly, and where their shortcomings are. But I think this particular series against an undefeated team, if they can just find a way to take 2 out of 3, I think the naysayers will be very quiet. I say that, but if they win 2 out of 3 and the third game is because of some blown save situation in the 8th or 9th inning, there will be traction there.
Friction, I don't blame people for having a strong memory when it comes to bullpen issues in April. You could argue that that, unfortunately, was a huge part of why this team didn't make the playoffs. Especially early. When that happens early, how does that affect your team when you already know you're having to play from behind? And there were a lot of people who came back from the season before in 2023 when they saw their playoff hopes from early September go from over 90% chance to then not making it. That puts you in a mindset that you don't want to be in. So if that's different this time around, I know that that's going to make an exponential difference for this team for the months ahead.
I understand what you're saying. I get what you're talking about as far as people and their short memories and really recency bias, if we're being honest, about what goes wrong, when it goes wrong, and how wrong it goes. Like, you can go off, veer off a little bit off the path, right? But it's when you make that sharp left turn and people are like, what is going on? Why are these problems not being addressed? I was told this was going to be handled in the offseason, and then it's not. Then it becomes an issue. My thing is right now, if these guys just hit, it shouldn't matter that much. That's what we just saw in Sacramento, right? The guys hit, so it really didn't matter if you give up 2 or 3 runs or 4 runs. As long as you're scoring 6-plus, you should be in pretty good shape most times.
Well, that's it. That's the beauty of having confidence in, even as hitters, to see when you know what Kyle Tucker's pitch is. When you know something's down and in, you know where that ball's likely going. A great way to prevent a blown save from happening is run differential. And, you know, I know we've talked a lot about this being a very quality opponent. There's no doubt about that. But the Diamondbacks made a lot of moves in the offseason. They wanted to compete in the NL West, sincerely, when you consider getting guys like Corbin Burns. Zach Gallen, obviously, is already in midseason form. They have been aggressive in talent acquisition. And to split the series with them on the road, I'm not mad at that outcome either. You're frustrated because, again, winnable games that were lost, those do end up adding up. But when you consider that opponent, it's not like this happened against a Sacramento. One of the things the Cubs need to do better is play better against the teams that you expect to sweep. It's a lofty ask, but when you sweep teams like the A's, hopefully that means you perform better against teams like the Pirates as opposed to last season.
As long as Skeens isn't out there, sure.
But that's it, right? He's your stopper. But how much overall does that affect you as the opponent still in the division having to play them relatively often?
We gave you the lineups, right? But I want to tune you in case you might have a little extra pocket change and you want to put a little something down. This from our friends at Circus Sports Illinois. Here's some of the odds and release props for today's game. Strikeouts, we got the Randy Vasquez versus Shohei Imanaga on this. Now, the over-under for Randy Vasquez is 3.5. The over at -125, the under at -105. Shohei Imanaga, I'm going to take the over on this. 4.5 strikeouts.
We like it.
The over is -140. The under is +110. So there's that. So I guess, yeah, that makes sense because I was quick to the over. So the -140 definitely makes sense.
I think Randy Vasquez, that would have been the under for his last outing that would have hit.
Home runs, Layla. Kyle Tucker, are you in or out? You tell me, yes, +515. No, -695.
It's to just get a home run, right?
Get a home run. No? He says a home run. Yes or no? You're on the yes? Seiya Suzuki, red hot, coming off a 2-home-run, 3-hit game.
Swing at the first pitch, Seiya. Plus swing.
+625?
Yep, let's go.
Or the
go.
No, minus.
Let's go. He's got protection in the lineup. He knows where he is. He's seen some positive results. Let's go.
Those are the things. Now, the only thing I'll say is the Fernando Tatis Jr., the leadoff hitter for the Padres, that's talking to me too. Plus, on the yes, 465. minus 615.
Yeah, it's the no there that'll pay.
And he might get an extra at bat. So total bases, it's easy for me on the over for Kyle Tucker, by the way. Plus 150 in the under, minus 185. I'm taking the over on the 1.5. Total bases for Kyle Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
That's a double.
Given how many total bases he had just by himself in the series against Sacramento, yeah, of course. We have much more to come here from Sluggers in Wrigleyville. Is that Ron Coomer's music?
Incognito.
That's Ron Coomer's music. He's coming through the tunnel. Coom joins us next as we broadcast live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville. Brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois Sports Betting, the way it should be. You've got the score on the home opening day.
We're back live with a Score Midday Show at Sluggers in Wrigleyville on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, that's right. Broadcasting live here from Sluggers in Wrigleyville. It is a packed house. If you are trying to get in, you might want to take some time. It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois Sports Betting, the way it should be. And we bring in our next guest. You would usually be on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, but luckily for us, the hotline's right here. Ron Coomer, Cubs radio analyst, getting all the applause that he should be, joining us here on the Midday Show on The Score.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're not the ones who had to spend a short half of a week in Sacramento. How are you doing back here in civilization?
We're good. I've been in between Arizona and Sacramento. I've been gone for almost 2 months, and it was nice to be back home and settling into Chicago again, that's for sure.
Ron, the Cubs were part of 4 opening days.
Yes,
that's a lot of opening days. How do you absorb it and observe it the way you have this season?
I think, you know, the opening day for us, you know, we weren't a part of the opening day in Japan. We were here at Wrigley broadcasting. So, you know, it's, you know, you hear Pat, Chicago Cubs are on the air, and then off we go. Arizona really felt like opening day for the broadcast team. We were all in Arizona at, you know, Chase Field. Sacramento, sure. We'll go with that, you know.
It's a ballpark.
It's got dimensions.
Yes. And we're back home to Wrigley Field. So this is opening day for me. I love opening day at Wrigley. I loved it as a kid. I loved it as a player. I love it as a broadcaster. So all you guys being here today is what it's all about. Wrigley Field has its own energy. And, you know, walking in today and seeing the ivy in the scoreboard, and you're like, all right, we're back home. Here we go.
Yeah. Coom, to come into this situation this year for the Cubs, to have been away from home, as you just said, for so long, do you think it's going to have a little extra juice in this one, especially coming off of the offensive performance, that display we saw in Sacramento?
Yeah, I do. When you have a series like they did against the A's, not Oakland, heaven forbid we say that, against the A's, there's no doubt. There's some guys that really are confident right now swinging the bat. And the other thing about this, too, that I really feel has some pop to it is, you know, one of your star players, and Tucker, this is his first opening day at Wrigley. You know, we got some young guys that are going to experience their first opening day at Wrigley. And, you know, as soon as something good happens for the Cubs in this game, there's going to be an explosion energy. And I think that's something that has real meaning when you're playing here. And, by the way, it's 45 degrees outside and we got the Padres in town, so that's a bonus, too.
That is a quality opponent in the Padres. But it reminds me, Rod, of what we asked Crane Kenny about, too. Something that stuck with me when Jed Hoyer talked about Kyle Tucker. And he said one of the biggest selling points I think that we have for Kyle, he's not going to get to experience for a while. And that's basically what happens today. Like, if he hits a home run today, if he gets to experience that Wrigley crowd as the home team, what that's going to mean to him and how he can finally take that in for what he can bring just by himself.
Well, you're right. There's no doubt. And when you look at playing here in this environment, in this ballpark, every major league player, there's certain ballparks you can't wait to get to play in, even as a visitor. Now he's putting on the blue pinstripes today and that uniform and all that. So there's going to be – it's something special. There's another thing, too, when you're a good team like the Cubs are, You're hoping to play in October, which the Cubs likely should, if all health and everything stays. It's even better. And I think this Cubs team is in that. They're trending that way right now. They had a great series. You're supposed to win that series, and they did convincingly. And they're a very confident group. But for Tuck, he's going to experience something unique. Houston is a great place, great ballpark. It's not Wrigley Field.
Kyle Tucker, it's early, Coom, but right now I'm looking at the screen.
Yeah.
He's leading baseball in WAR, wins above replacement. Tied with him at .8. It's early. I told you it was early. Yep. It's Shota Imanaga. Yep. So what's interesting about Shota is just the level of comfort he showed from day one as a Cub, and you expect it to carry over into year two as it has so far. And he seems to feed off the energy just as well as anybody we've ever seen take the hill in a Cubs uniform.
Shota, you know, sometimes because of the language barrier a little bit, you don't get to see a guy's personality right away. He's big with personality.
Oh,
he's
Cubs convention,
right? He's not
big
in stature. He's big in personality. And he loves all of this. This is right in his wheelhouse, pitching at Wrigley Field and feeding off the fans' energy. Cubs have a few of those guys now. Pete Armstrong's another one. We were talking out on Mully and All earlier today. He's a guy that feeds off of that. But Shota, big time. And I love that whole idea. I think that's what, you know, playing in certain markets brings to the table. And that's what, you know, it's going to happen today. And I expect him to have a dominant performance even against a really good offense.
I think the thing about him that I really enjoy, too, isn't just what you guys said, but the function that happens afterward. If he's not happy with a big fly or if he's not happy with a home run, you'll see it. You'll see the relief on his face when he has a good catch from his outfield. You'll see the happiness if he gets out of a jam. I feel like Amaya is like that, too. We talked a little bit about how that partnership and that battery was so effective last season. I think for him to just be that person has helped him function in this space, especially here.
I don't think anybody expected what he brought to the table last year. I think you don't know. It's an unknown. He comes here and dominates. And his stuff plays in our game really well. That's another key. But he's a confident dude. And, you know, you just – I do. I just – I like – speaking of personalities, we got one walking in right now.
Yeah, we do. But there's a lot of –
one of my old hometown boys
right
here.
Joliet and Lockport representing.
The last time Mark Grant and I were on a microphone together, we were taking money from people in Joliet at the Wish Upon a Star fundraiser as auctioneers. So keep your hands on your wallets, guys. You have two Joliet people in the room. Yeah.
But two of the best in the business to me when it comes to broadcasts teaching. Like, Mudd taught me so much when I worked with him in San Diego. You guys do a wonderful job of that, painting the picture like you do so well, Pat and you. What does that mean to you, knowing that you're bringing this home the way you have? I think Tokyo is a great example, just how you guys were able to bring so much, even from where you were.
I think for Mark and I both, it's our upbringing of where we grew up. It's a really good baseball area. We had to work very hard to get to the big leagues, stay in the big leagues, and keep doing what we're doing. And we also really love baseball. You know, when you listen to Mark's broadcast, and I do a lot because he's on the West Coast, driving home or something, you know he's having fun. If you've ever been around Mudd for 5 minutes, it's going to be fun. And that's the way it is. And I think where we grew up, you know, the baseball aspect of it was taught to us at a young age and the love of the game. And we try to bring that to our audience. And I think we do.
I know you didn't go on the trip to Japan. I didn't feel like Seiya Suzuki was maybe having as much fun as he wanted to. I think he was happy to be there.
Yeah.
They throw him parties. They're hanging out. He's obviously being adored by the Japanese faithful.
Right.
He started off poorly, but the way he's played the last few games, specifically in the Sacramento part of that road trip, looks like a guy that we actually expect him to be and that the Cubs need him to be. In that the power is now displaying itself in the plate coverage and everything else after, you know, striking out a lot to start the season.
Marshall, I would say there was one swing of the bat that kind of flipped everything over. He hit the big three-run homer off Severino off the batter's eye in center field. Long home run. Severino is really tough against right-handed hitters. He's got big sweeping breaking ball, good velocity. He's just very tough against righties. For Seiya to blast one like that in his first at-bat, the carryover effect on that is immense. So, and it did, and it showed right away. I mean, he started banging out hits. And confidence is one of those things, as we all know in sports, can really carry a guy for a long time. So it was great to see. Cubs, as you put it, really need him and Dansby and some of those guys in the middle hitting, you know, behind the top two to really have big offensive years. If they do, we'll be sitting here at Sluggers in October broadcasting again.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, yeah. Me neither.
And yeah. You know, you're a cleanup hitter, too. I think his success is going to be a good indication, Michael Bush's, of the Cubs' success. Ron Coomer, nice enough to join us from Sluggers here in Wrigleyville. You can, of course, hear his call with Pat Hughes. Coverage starts at 12:45 right here on The Score. When we call, Coom answers.
Yep.
More coming up, as we mentioned. We stay in our Joliet area because
yes.
Mark Grant, the Padres TV analyst, Mudcat, joins us next to talk Padres baseball, and maybe he gives us some Bears thoughts on The Score.